Hi, I'm Eric Dama, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith, revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once we're all handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you here in studio on this beautiful sunny day, and you and I are going to have the opportunity to talk about one of the articles that you had written. It's the most recent edition. It's issue number 134, and the title is Two Domain Theology, How We Escape Satan's Dominion. You believe, and I think rightfully so from Scripture, that every single person belongs either to the domain of Satan or to the domain of Jesus Christ, that is God. And the question is, what was the impetus behind writing this article? Because I know you have several reasons that I think are very important.
Well, there's two things that were going on simultaneously.
Yeah.
One is that I published an article some years ago about having been in deliverance ministry.
Right.
Some of the things I saw and why I got out of it.
Yeah.
Well, people read part of that article, think, oh, I'm an expert about demons.
Right.
And they email me. And they start telling all their symptoms. So I get emails about symptoms.
Right.
And they think maybe I can fix their symptoms.
Yeah.
They almost all say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, simultaneously, I'm always studying. So I'm preaching through Luke, Acts.
Right.
I'm teaching Acts in Sunday school. I've already preached through Luke.
Yeah.
I preached through Colossians, which we've been doing on this podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
And Colossians 1, 13 and 14 talks about this.
Exactly.
Published an article on that. Still getting emails. I sent them that article. Well, okay, but they're wanting symptom release.
Right.
But I'm thinking about this passage that I have at the beginning of the article.
Right.
Do you want to read that?
Yeah. Here's Acts 26:18, and again, you've brought this up numerous times in our studies through the book of Acts because it's such an important verse. You write here, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.
Right. And just this Sunday, that came up in our class.
Right.
Somebody was asking about, I remember I was saying turning to God.
It's synonymous with repentance.
Yeah. And so then you read Acts 26:20, where it's used synonymously.
Exactly.
That's so right. Those who repent, who confess Christ, who've been converted, are described as the ones who turn, there's that word,
right,
from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, and they receive forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
And so I wrote this article just to make it clear, and I called it Two Domain Theology.
Amen.
And there are many implications.
Right.
Right? And I think we can just make it so clear from Scripture that it can't be doubted.
Right.
I'll defend this anytime, any place.
Yeah.
Because the biblical data is overwhelming.
That's right.
If you look at all the synonymous ways it's told to us.
Oh, absolutely.
So you go into a totally different realm spiritually,
right,
when you're converted.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, in fact, Bob, I thought your thesis statement was here in the first paragraph, where you said this. You said, quote, true escape from Satan is not about symptom relief or geographical boundaries. It is about leaving Satan's spiritual realm and entering the spiritual reign of God in Christ. That's
right.
A very, very important sentence. And maybe unpack that a little bit more for us. I think this is such an important point to point out that, number one, symptom relief isn't going to be helpful. And number two, the issue isn't geographical. The issue is a spiritual domain, one way or the other, either Satan's or Christ.
Right. Some people think, well, we can build the kingdom of God on earth if we just get the right people running for office and the right laws.
Right.
And, well, in church history, look at the times where Rome tried to force people to be Christian.
Yes, exactly.
At the edge of a sword.
Right.
Well, the sword can't change the heart.
Right, amen.
And Rome, long ago, rejected the gospel for their religion of works.
Yeah.
So they can't really get anybody into God's spiritual domain.
Right.
Because they've given away the only way that it'll happen.
That's right.
Through conversion and faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And not by works.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. So when we believe the gospel and we're converted, we are transferred from the domain of Satan into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Ruled by Christ.
Right.
And here's the thing that people don't get.
Yeah.
If you are really under the rule of Christ, you're in a totally different domain.
Yeah.
Your sins are forgiven. You have the Holy Spirit. You're a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
You can go to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, with whatever needs you have.
Exactly.
And rearranging demons is crazy.
Right.
Because the demons can't do anything to you. You're not in their domain.
Right.
It says in 1 John 5, the evil one doesn't touch you.
Amen.
And the only exception would be if God were to allow certain things, like Paul's thorn in the flesh,
right,
which he called a messenger from Satan,
yeah.
2 Corinthians 12, in which case, what did Paul do? Did he rebuke Satan?
No, he prayed to God.
He went to God.
Amen.
We don't ever need to talk to Satan because we have access to the throne of grace where
right.
Christ sits at the right hand of God.
Right.
He's our Lord. He's our Savior.
Yeah.
He's our King. And he says, come to me.
Right. Amen.
Okay, so it's insulting to Christ for you to say, I want somebody to cast demons out of me, or I'm going to learn how to rebuke my own demons. If you're in the reign of Christ, what are you doing talking to Satan?
Exactly. The Lord is the one who is in charge of how
right.
he uses the angelic realm, including the demonic realm.
Yeah. And so go to Christ every time.
Yeah, amen. Now, Bob, it's interesting as you mentioned this domain transfer, and I think that's an important concept, and you rightly lay out here it's not a geographical issue, it's a relational issue. And that's one thing I'd like for the listener to ponder is when someone leaves the domain of Satan and goes to the domain of God in Christ, the domain transfer is one I like to call positional, in the sense that God sees the person as just before them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They have atonement, they have imputed righteousness, they have their sins forgiven or released, as you point out in this article. And so the transfer isn't geographical. It's not a spatial one.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, you can be anywhere.
Exactly.
You can be in some tribal area of the world where hardly anybody is serving Christ.
Right.
Where there may not be any kind of civil government, although God ordained a civil government.
Right. Yeah.
Tribalism isn't God's idea.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
He draws
right.
out the boundaries, and
yeah.
we're supposed to have rulers that would punish evildoers and so on. Go
right.
read Romans 13.
Exactly.
But let's say you're somewhere where that's broken down, at least for now.
Yeah.
And tribes are roving around killing each other.
Right.
And everyone is in utter darkness, but you somehow hear the gospel and repent and come to Christ, you are in the realm, the reign, the domain, the rule of Christ.
Amen.
You're transferred out of all of that.
That's right.
You know, so your geography can't keep you from Christ. Only
amen.
Unbelief can.
You know, one of the important terms that I think really illustrates that, how it's not spatial and it's not geographical, is the term legitsimai, which has to do with reckon or to impute.
Yeah.
It's used by Paul, for example, in Romans 4 when he talks about how Abraham was justified by faith. And he talks about how righteousness is imputed or credited to our account. It's that reckoning by God which is our domain transfer. He reckons us as being righteous in Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is that helps, I think, people understand that when you have this transfer by faith in Christ from one domain to the other, you may not physically experience anything. You're not going to hear trumpets. There's no fanfare. There's nothing to tip you off other than the objective reality given by the scriptures that this is in fact true.
You believe?
Yes.
What God has done in Christ.
Amen.
You come to Him, you find release.
That's right.
And we'll talk about that. Now, I made a little note here as I was looking at my article.
Yeah.
Here's what I said in my note. If one is in Satan's domain, shamanistic practices will not change that.
Right.
Why do the Satanists and tribal people with no light of the gospel, why do they all have witch doctors and shamans?
Right.
Because they know the demons are real. See, this isn't about saying demons are real. They are.
Yes.
I know 40 years ago when I was a fairly new Christian, some books were written by Christians as if it were some new discovery that demons actually exist.
Yeah.
And so books were written. I talked to demons or whatever by evangelicals. Oh, the demons are real.
Right.
But the Bible doesn't deny that.
Right, amen.
Okay. Demons are real. They afflict people. They're liars. They're deceivers.
Right.
Satan's real. There's some kind of hierarchy to this.
Right, yeah.
Principalities and powers.
Yeah.
But here's what people get wrong. They think we need to know the details of how Satan's kingdom works.
Right.
So we can manipulate it to some good outcome.
Sure.
Okay. But that's not the point.
Right.
And that's not what Ephesians is telling us. It's not what Colossians is telling us.
Right.
It's not what Luke Acts is telling us. It's not what 1 John is telling us, or the Gospel of John, or anything in the Bible.
Right.
The fact is, we don't need to understand the secret workings of Satan and his spiritual wicked domain to get out of it.
Amen.
We need Christ.
Right. Well said.
So there's no such thing as a valid Christian shaman.
Yeah. Amen.
They may be called deliverance counselors.
Yeah.
But it's not a valid ministry.
Right. And I think that's an important category distinction that you make in here. If I were to summarize what you're saying, look, we as Christians ought not to be engaged in interaction with the demonic realm. What we're called to do is to realize that by faith in Christ, there's been a wholesale transfer of the entire person from one domain to the other. That's what we need.
The whole person goes out.
Yes.
Body, soul, and spirit.
All right. Amen.
The whole individual.
Right.
People email me, and so I know how people think, because I get so many emails for 20-some years.
Right.
They start telling me the symptoms.
Okay.
And as long as they think about symptoms, they're convinced they have demons.
Sure.
And sometimes they're very specific. Well, I have this demon, and it kind of gets in my digestive tract and churns around in there.
Yeah.
Or I got this demon that's doing this, or the demon's doing that, and here's how I feel, and here's the manifestations,
yeah.
And here's what all's going on.
Yeah.
And what do I do? Can I call you? I want you to help me.
Yeah.
I just resist phone because I hardly have enough voice to do radio most of the time.
Sure, right.
You know, so I got to write emails. I did when I was younger and had more voice.
Right.
I need to preach and do radio.
That's right.
Talk to my wife.
Right.
Things like that. But anyhow, what these people need to know, if you're in Satan's domain, this will do you no good.
Right.
It will not help you one bit.
Yes.
And maybe the demon actually goes out, or at least seems like it does. We don't see the spirit world.
Right.
But there's a manifestation.
Right.
Something happens. The demons sometimes talk through people and say, oh, no, don't do that, don't do that.
Right.
No, no. And then the deliverance counselor, out, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus. Or they get a name of the demon.
Sure.
There's a manifestation. A person gets up, oh, I'm better. Thank you. Wow, you're a great man of God. Isn't this wonderful? And I found relief and everything's fine. But they go on.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, well, something else happens.
Mm.
Something else comes up. Well, you got to go back.
Right.
Okay, you keep going back.
Right.
So the whole thing is we don't know what's going on in Satan's kingdom. We don't need to.
Exactly.
We know some things. We know he lies.
Right.
We know he's a rebel against God. We know he ends up in hell.
Yes.
We know a lot of things that the Bible reveals.
Yeah.
But these lower level beings that are tormenting people, the problem is, if you're in his domain, If you find total relief, what good does it do you if you go to hell?
Right, right.
But they say, oh, I'm a Christian. Here's another thing. We were talking about this before we started recording.
Yeah, that's right.
The seeker movement, plus all the other false movements that have false Christ.
Yeah.
There are millions of people in churches who aren't Christian.
Right, amen.
Okay? They have false assurance.
Right.
They think they're Christian. Or they may mean, I'm a Christian because I prayed a little prayer.
Right.
Or they may mean, I'm a Christian because I'm not in some tribal region doing voodoo and Satan worship.
Right.
You know, I'm not a witch. I'm not in a coven. I'm not Satanist. I'm not an atheist. So I must be a Christian.
Right, right.
Or I go to a church or whatever.
Yeah.
They're not really converted. It doesn't matter what you look like,
right,
dear listeners. It matters if you've been rescued from your sins,
right,
by the blood of Jesus. You've been transferred from the dominion of Satan,
amen,
to God, from darkness to light, from the lie to the truth.
Amen.
All this is in my article.
Right.
All right? And that's more important than your symptoms.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
So lately, as I've been getting more wise about how to say this,
yeah,
and this article I think will help,
yeah,
they just leave.
Hmm.
Go look for somebody else that'll cast out a demon.
Wow, isn't that something? You know, Bob, back to that 2 Corinthians 12, isn't it interesting? When Paul looked for symptom relief, he went to the throne of grace. And he knew that it was God's prerogative whether he would give him symptom relief or not. And that's part of what I would like to refer to as the Romans 8:28 worldview, where if we really believe that God causes all things to work out for the good for those who love him or are called according to his purpose, then we believe that God really is sovereign, and he'll use the angelic realm as he sees fit for our benefit. And that's why we can be very confident as believers in his domain that we can just go to the throne of grace, let him work it out. Why interact?
We have direct access to Christ.
Amen.
See, I firmly believe that all of this stuff, and I've written article after article after article since the 90s.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Theophostic ministry. I wrote one about a thing called Manvi, which is promoting mysticism. I've written about the Word of Faith movement.
Yeah.
You know, we need Latter-day Apostles and prophets that can do miracles like Jesus did, then we wouldn't have all these problems.
Right.
I've written about other versions of inner healing and deliverance and altered states of consciousness. And
yeah,
they keep coming. I'm convinced the reason for all of this is that the churches are full of the unconverted.
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah.
We've talked about this every way we can think of saying it clearly so you dear listeners won't get hurt,
right,
by believing these lies. There's no program in the New Testament for processing the past.
Amen.
There's the curse breakers. I've written about that. Okay?
Right.
I've got a book that somebody gave me written by one of these curse breakers that says you could be coming under a curse that was instituted 700 years ago.
Hmm.
Well, how do you know you're under it? Well, obviously you need a shaman to get a revelation from God.
Right. You know, Bob, that's such a great point. And those of us who are blessed by being in Christ, we can't be under a curse.
Well, I know.
He became a curse for us who hung on the tree. And you know a passage you had pointed out, Bob? It was really an astute reading, I thought. It was back in Numbers 24, where Balaam, you had the false prophet who was asked to put a curse on the people of God. But because Yahweh had blessed them, he couldn't curse them. And that's really illustrative.
Not only could he not curse them, God chose to use the false prophet to bless them,
yes,
even though he didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to, right?
And he was getting paid big money.
Exactly.
Right? And it says, the Spirit of God, he usually went to his high place where you do your divination.
Yeah, that's right.
The Spirit of God comes.
Yeah. But you know, Bob,
he blesses Israel.
It's a beautiful, it's a great example, and it's illustrative of the fact that if you are blessed by Yahweh, then you can't be cursed. You cannot be. There's no way.
Right. Balaam couldn't do it, and he was good at what he did.
Right.
And finally, Balak figured out how to get Balaam to really curse Israel.
Right, to make him stumble.
Yeah, Balaam gave him some advice.
Yeah.
well, this didn't work. You're a horrible curser. I pay all this money to keep blessing them.
Tempt them with the women.
Get them to intermarry because their God forbade them to do that.
That's right.
Intermarry with your daughters, which they're not supposed to do.
That's right.
And introduce your gods. Then God will curse them.
Exactly. That was the only way.
And that's what happened. That's why Balaam is so condemned in the New Testament.
That's right.
So what does that mean to us? If you are totally convinced that you're cursed, what you are convinced of is that you're not a Christian.
That's right.
Maybe you aren't.
Right.
Okay. Just because you go into a church building where they have hymns and prayers and you said a little prayer, wrote a date in the back of your Bible. If you trust in Christ alone and your sins are forgiven, you are no longer in the domain of Satan.
Amen.
And if you're going around looking for curse breakers as a Christian, you are offending Christ.
Amen.
You are saying to Christ, I'm in your kingdom.
Yeah.
I have the blessing of Abraham, but I don't like my symptoms, so I think I'll go find a shaman who'll break my curses.
Yeah, how offensive is that?
That's offensive. No, it's not a shaman. It's a deliverance minister. It's a Christian preacher.
Right.
No. He may call himself a Christian preacher, but he doesn't believe the gospel any more than you do.
Well said.
You cannot be cursed by Satan when you're blessed by God.
Amen. Well said, Bob.
And we say this on the authority of Scripture.
Well said.
So the question, now this is how I approach it.
Yeah.
With everybody.
Right.
Before anything else happens.
Yeah.
Before you decide what you need, we're going to decide, whose domain are you in?
Right, right.
Now, this article is written to help people to do that.
Right, amen.
Just look at what the Bible says. Whose domain are you in?
Wow.
I start with Christ face to face with Pilate.
Yes, John 18. Wow.
Yeah, there's two domains.
Right.
Pilate's in one. Christ is in the other. He's, in fact, a king of the other.
Right, right.
And so I start my article with that, where it says, John 18, 36 to 38. Do you want to read that?
Yeah, I'll read it. It says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? There you go.
Pilate wasn't worried.
No.
If you're not raising an army, and you're not going to make me look bad before the Romans by...
He's not concerned.
...beating me.
Right.
Truth isn't going to hurt Pilate.
Right.
Because he didn't care what was true or false, or certainly didn't believe in spiritual truth.
Right.
Amen. What is truth? What is truth?
Right.
So let's say you're the one who wants symptom relief. I think I got demons. I think I'm cursed. I think somebody's doing mind control on me. I've heard that one.
Right.
Okay, I think this happened. I think that happened. What if somebody asked you, are you of the truth?
Mm.
I think most people who want symptom relief would say, what is truth?
Wow. Right.
I don't care about such things.
Right.
I want this problem gone.
Amen. Okay. Wow. Well said, Bob.
So what is truth?
Right.
Well, it's one of the ways the domain of Christ is described in the Bible is to be of the truth.
Right.
Amen. And it's either or.
Right.
John 8:44. You're either of the truth.
Or of the lie.
Or of the lie.
Right.
What's the truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
What's the lie?
Yeah.
You can be like God. You won't surely die.
Amen. Well said. You know, Bob, as you were mentioning this tendency for people to want to either get a shaman or to manipulate the spiritual realm themselves. It really is an attack on the authority of Christ, and it's really a form of blasphemy. And it's interesting, in the book of Jude, we're actually given an example of that, where you have false teachers who apparently were engaged in trying to manipulate the angelic realm. And here in Jude, he gives us a greater to lesser. He says, yet in like manner, these people also, he's talking about the false teachers, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. Then he says, but when the archangel Michael contended with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
Mm-hmm.
So here, the writer of Jude, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, look, if you look at the example from Michael, who was an archangel, even this archangel didn't rail a pronouncement against Satan and boss him around, as it were, but rather he appealed to God. And
right.
So how much more should you and I, who are lesser human beings, who can't even see the spiritual...
We don't know what they're doing.
Right. Let's just trust God.
We don't know what's what. And people have written books claiming they're going to get a revelation about which principality is ruling over which geographical territory.
Right.
And then bind that being in order to have revival happen.
Yeah, right.
Well, again, this is an affront to God.
Amen.
Why? For several reasons. Number one, they're complaining about how God runs his own universe.
Right. That's a great point, Bob.
Absolutely.
Very good, yes.
We've been talking a lot about Deuteronomy 32.
Yeah.
God drawing out the boundaries, and we believe that the best reading is according to the sons of God.
Right, yeah.
So the prince over, remember the... of the territory.
Yeah.
Remember the thing in Daniel about that?
The prince
of Persia or whatever?
Right.
God put these beings over the territories.
Right.
Yahweh is going to be over Israel.
Amen.
But they rebelled against God and they ended up under these principalities too.
Right. That's
okay?
Right.
Now, until the millennium, the only way out is to come to Christ.
Amen.
No matter who you are.
Wow.
And it's no longer geographical.
Right.
Okay, so, according to Deuteronomy 32, it's verse 8, am I correct?
Yeah, right.
This is God's doing.
Yeah.
It's, again, in Acts 17, it's mentioned God draws out the boundaries.
Right.
And the human kings that are under the unseen spirit realm, they're also ordained by God.
Right.
Okay, so if you're going to rebuke the spirit world over certain geographical territories,
right,
you're rebuking God who put them there.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful.
You can go to God and say, God, have mercy on us and give us something else.
Right. Right.
Whether it's the human ruler or the whatever's going on.
Wow.
That's his business.
Right.
See, Ephesians talks about these things, being in Christ above them.
Yeah.
The false teachers say that means we take charge of these things.
Right.
Listen, pay attention, dear listeners. We're going to help you here.
Yeah, amen.
How can we, even as Christian, who don't even see the spirit world,
right,
thankfully,
yeah,
okay, we just have to imagine or have metaphysical impressions, how can we rule over beings that we can't see, we can't identify, we can't do much about?
Right.
Is that what it's saying?
Right.
Now I'm going to rule over the principality over, we're in St. Louis Park, Minnesota here. Right. How am I going to do that?
Right, right.
Wow. Okay, that's not our business.
Right, right.
This unseen realm is God's business, not ours.
Amen.
We need to believe what he says about it. So in passages like in Ephesians, where it says we're seated with Christ, it isn't saying we manipulate the spirit world, is saying we are safe from it.
Amen. That's exactly right.
And if we have a problem, we don't go to the Prince of Persia and say, okay,
yeah, boss him around.
You know, you got to quit causing problems here. You're not doing this right.
Right.
You go to Christ.
Bob, great point. And one of the articles where you lay that out as well, and I don't remember what issue number it is, but it's about the armor of God in Ephesians 6.
Yes.
What's very important is I would highly suggest if any of the listeners are listening and you have not read that article, it's very important because it shows that all of the pieces of armor, as it were, that Paul alludes to in Ephesians 6, it's the gospel.
It's the gospel.
That's right. And what you're saying, Bob, is that once we've entered into the gospel, we are to stand firm in it, lest we be plundered by the enemy who wants to bring us into these doctrines where we try to manipulate.
If we go into the realm of the spirits,
yeah,
and try to fish around and fix things and do this and do that,
right,
we'll lose.
Right.
That's their domain. You're in the domain of Christ, and he rescued you.
Right.
Colossians 1, 13, 14.
Right.
Transferred you, rescued you, redeemed you, forgave you.
That's right.
Do you want to go back on there and see if you can do business?
Amen.
Why would you? Wow. It's insane to go back.
Right.
And the only way you can go back is to commit apostasy, renounce Christ, renounce the gospel, say, I don't want my sins forgiven. I don't want to trust Christ. I don't want any of it. I'd rather go into the realm of the demons and be a shaman. Well, then you're an apostate and you're going to hell.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good program.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
But if you're rescued out,
right,
stay out.
That's right. Amen.
It's God's mercy that you don't have to deal with that.
Exactly. Wow.
Okay? It's God's privilege that you can go to the throne of grace,
yeah,
that you can pray, that you can believe the promises of God, that you can love Jesus. And all of these books that are written by so-called Christians telling us that we need to do all this, they're insulting to God.
Amen.
Quit blaspheming God and start believing in Christ.
Amen. Wow. Well said. Well, Bob, what a fitting way to end this first edition here of looking at this fine article, Two Domain Theology, How We Escape Satan's Dominion. Well, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a pleasure discussing your article with you. I look forward to doing it next week.
Thanks so much for coming here to do this with me, Eric. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's a great blessing, and I look forward to learning more with the rest of the listeners next week. We want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.